out of the hand of God. That's why you're safe. Even when you don't feel safe as a child of God, you're safe. When trouble comes your way, you're safe. When trouble comes and you don't know it's there, the old folk used to say that was danger seen and unseen. You're still safe in the arms of the Lord. And give God praise right now. The people you saved throughout the night, bringing you through yet another day. So many people didn't wake up, but you did. Because we saved. I like being secure in Jesus Christ. There's no better feeling. Amen. Amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Y'all look good today. I see a lot of red. I see a red up in here today. Amen. Amen. I see a few stragglers. I see a couple Colorado fans in here. And some East Coast fans in here. All right, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. That's enough. Amen. Got a little New Orleans in here. Yeah, we won't even acknowledge that other fan. We're not gonna say nothing, Brother Hurd. We won't even acknowledge that. That's why I said Colorado. 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 Amen. 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 Yeah, the donkeys. Amen. Amen. But we all brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. 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 Good. I see a little Atlanta in the house. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here. Good to be here. Let's give our children a round of applause. They blessed our hearts. Amen. 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 There is a word from the Lord today. Amen. Amen. All right. Okay. Come and go with me to the book of Acts. Acts. I have one scripture. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Acts comes after what book? John. John. It's a book of what? If you don't know, it's because you wasn't at discipleship. Amen. I'm starting early. Acts is a book of history. It's from the early church. Amen. 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 Acts 20 and 24. And there you'll find these words. But none of these things. Did it say some of the things? But none. Not one of these things moved me. I'll read it together because y'all might have missed it because I broke it up. But none of these things moved me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may finish my race. Did it say just finish my race any old kind of way? No. But that I may finish my race with what? Joy. With joy. And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God will stand forever. Grab somebody by the hand. Look them right in the eye. Smile. Unless they don't have on a Chiefs jersey. Then snarl at them. Snarl. Repeat after me. On today, I'm jacking back. My joy. Amen, amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, we bless you, we honor you, we love you and we adore you. God, we thank you right now for just being better to us than we could be to ourselves. Lord, we thank you that you can restore us. We thank you that you keep us. We thank you that you just bless us, even when we don't deserve it. Lord, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for grace, and we thank you for mercy. And Lord, we ask that you speak to me and speak through me. Let me decrease so that you may increase, O God. Use me as you see fit. And let he that has ear hear what the Spirit says to the church. Give us a mind to apply the word from up on high. And let us be better Christians today than what we were on yesterday. And God, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory for what belongs to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Y'all may be seated in his presence. So, there was a televangelist, there was a priest, and there was a Baptist minister traveling. All right, they were traveling, and they went somewhere, and they was kind of in the back of nowhere, you know, backwoods, and, you know, the priest said, you know what? No, I'm sorry, the rabbi. The rabbi said, I'll sleep out here with the animals. Ain't no problems. I can deal with it. That's cool. So the televangelist and the priest, they went into the hotel room. They shared a room. And the rabbi came in and said, hey, look, I can't stay out here. There is a pig out there. And you know I'm Jewish. And that's just not kosher. I can't sleep out there with the pig. All right? So the priest went out there. And he's out there. And he's laying. He's trying to sleep. And he comes back and knocks on the door. He said, you know, I quit eating beef a long time ago. I can't stand the sight of it or the smell of it. And I just don't want to be out there with the cow. I can't do it. So the televangelist said, you know what? I'll go on out there. I don't care. Y'all acting like little, you know, just like y'all can't handle it. I'm just going to go out there and sleep. A few minutes later, there was a knock on the door. And it was the cow and the pig saying, let me in. I can't put up with the televangelist no more. Y'all get it later. Amen. Laugh is good for the soul. Jacking back my joy. When we were young, if somebody jacks you for something, it means they just straight up took it right in front of you. You knew who took it. You knew how they took it. Wasn't no question. Now, if they just stole it from you or they were slick with it or they were just a common little thief, they might have stole it. They might have stolen it while you were in gym or out your locker or something like that. But if you got jack, back in the day, they used to take, and I know y'all might not use that word anymore, but we used to call it jack. So when we had starter jackets, some of the people who weren't in school and stuff, they would sometimes come around and jack us for our starter jacket. That's old school. That's throwback. Y'all don't know nothing about that. But they used to take our starter jackets. And sometimes mom and dad would be scared to get us jackets and stuff like that because, you know, you didn't know if you was going to come home, you know, with your jacket or your coat or not. But it means to take something from somebody or get it taken from you right when you're right there. They just snatch it right from you. We let people, things, and situations jack us of our joy all the time. Amen. We rarely have any joy because things that we know are going to happen right in front of us still takes our joy every day. In this scripture, Paul is telling us exactly how none of these things, y'all, everybody say these things, move me. None of these things that happened to Paul move him. And that means that it's not going to get him off of his path. A little backdrop about Paul. Paul was known as Saul. Saul used to persecute. He used to kill Christians. He used to beat them down, imprison them, because he did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And anybody who professed Christianity, if you heard the name Saul, you went running for the hills. A lot of the youth might not understand it, but we talked downstairs about Lion King. And you remember how when the hyenas heard the name Mufasa, they'd be like, ugh. They would kind of tremble whenever they heard the name Mufasa. And we're under the belief that whenever Christians heard the name Saul, they would just take off running. They would just be gone. Y'all remember how Cedric the Entertainer said, you know, when somebody get hit in the head, everybody just start running and they don't even know what's happening. That's what would happen when people would hear the name Saul. Everybody just take off. Because that's how fearless he was. That's how intimidating he was. But Saul got converted, and he had become a Christian. And what happened is Paul really should have been given a pretty bad death for all the wrong that he had done, for all the ways that he persecuted Christ and sinned against God. He really should have been killed. But on that road to Damascus, Paul was not only saved, but God had extended him grace and mercy right there, because he should have been dead. Now, after he came over, what I believe about Paul is that Paul realized that every moment he lived after that encounter with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus was a blessing. Because of everything he had done against the kingdom of God, God allowed him to live. So he realized that I'm not going to count my life as mine. I'm just going to serve God, and I'm not going to just do it any old kind of way. See, you know, we go to work. We go to work, right? Do y'all know that most heart attacks happen on Mondays? Did you know that? 75% of most coronary attacks and issues happen on Monday. Because we so stressed out and worried about going back to work that it just takes us to a whole other level. And that's not the main reason, but what is they call it a triggering event. Because we relaxed and chilled on Saturday and Sunday, Friday, we can't wait. And Monday, just from the stress, a lot of it is caused by traffic. Now, who got to be at work by 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning? Everybody? Just about everybody, right? Now, don't you know it's going to be traffic in the morning? We know that, right? We know it. So why are we cussing people out in traffic? Why are we getting mad in traffic? We get mad at stuff that we can't even control. You can't control nothing. And I know you be driving down and you see somebody's car broke. You're like, why they got that car on the highway anyway? You're going to make me late to work. That's one of the cars. Hey, everybody had a hoopty. Some cars you don't put on the highway. You got to drive it on the side streets. I had a car that didn't have no reverse. I had to drive around Walmart so I could pull into the parking lot, to the parking spot, because I couldn't back out. We got to keep it 100. You were driving by, you mad because the man's car done broke down, and yeah, you late for work. And we've been ruined the whole day. We have no joy. We have no joy because person A caught a flat tire or the alternator went out, and now we mad. But Paul endured way worse than that. Paul was shipwrecked. Paul was in the ministry for about 32, 34 years, okay? Most of that time, if he wasn't shipwrecked a couple times, if he wasn't incarcerated or being beat or being bitten by snakes, he just always had something going on. But what Paul realized is that I really deserve to be dead, but God saw fit to have mercy on me and save me, so I'm just going to live for him. But in spite of all that, Paul said, I'm going to do this race with joy. So we let traffic jack us from our joy. We let spouses jack us from our joy. Amen. Everybody got quiet. Everybody got quiet. You know, and see, fellas, we got it bad. You know, you wake up, and she wakes up in PMS mode. That stands for pretty mean sister. You know, she wakes up, and you don't even understand what's going on. You'd be like, hey, man, all I did was wake up. She might say that's the problem. but what I'm saying is that, you know, we start off the day sometime and all it takes is one wrong look. Or if I say I love you, but you didn't hear me and you didn't say it back. And I got an attitude all day. Ruined my day. So now everybody who worked with me and worked for me, they got to put up with my attitude. And it's Ina's fault. But we allow things to jack us of our joy all the time. Children are little joy snatchers. They'll snatch it quick. They'll be gone. Y'all can take joy in 2 seconds. Come home, have a good day. So somebody done broke something or want something. Joy gone. Gone. Had an awesome day at work. Awesome day. I come home. Daddy, I want to go to Walmart. I don't want to go to Walmart. Dee Dee wants a new water cup, wants a new water bottle. I don't want to spend any money. I just want to come home and chill. But that's not on their agenda. So we allow those things to take our joy. Stress is the number one killer worldwide. We stressing and worrying about things that we can't control. We worry about everything. We worrying about money and finances, and we worried about jobs and coworkers. We have anxiety. we have anxiety attacks, and we're anxious about things when the word tells us not to be anxious for anything. Some of us got anger problems. Amen, we do. And it might not be extreme to where we physically hurting anybody, but I was talking to Dad, and see, I like to cook. And so when I cook and I'm ready for Ina to come eat, you know, because, you know, when you cook, you want your stuff to be served hot. Amen, cooks? You don't want your stuff cold. You want you to eat it right now. Right now. So I fix it, and I get it ready. I'm like, baby, it's time to come eat. Okay, I'm coming. She in there asleep, watching TV, you know, on the phone. And I'm like, the food about to get cold. So I start getting attitudes. I get mad. I'm like, well, what you asked me to cook for you, and then you ain't going to come in here and eat. Like, I'm hot. I'm mad now. So why am I getting my blood pressure up? Because she about to eat cold food. That's not my problem. Amen? So, but I find myself allowing little stuff like that to steal my joy. And then I just said too much. Now she's mad at me. So now we got to walk around mad at each other for the rest of the night. Don't nobody have joy. And if mom and daddy don't got no joy, you know the kids ain't going to have no joy. Nobody going to have joy. But I had to teach myself, as the Lord had given me this sermon, that, hey, if Ina has to reheat her food, that's her business. But I'm going to just start sitting down and eating my food because I don't have to wait on her. I've cooked it. I've served it. That's all I can do. Amen? But that's better. When I was ready to go upstairs and go to bed, she wanted to stay downstairs. I was ready to go to bed. I said, you know what? I'm just going upstairs. I ain't going to wait on you. But she came, and we didn't have no problems. Amen? But we are allowing small things to take away our joy. You ever get mad at somebody the night of, and then you don't talk to them the whole next day? Then we battling pride then. See, anger and silly stuff turns into pride. And who going to text who? Y'all laughing because it's the truth. Who going to text who? Who going to call? Who going to say hi first? Who going to be the first one to say I love you because you made me mad the night before? Y'all understand, you know, teenagers, you know, you fall out with your homies and all that. Y'all get in the issue and y'all walk around school like y'all ain't going to speak to each other. Because somebody got to have some humility and say hi first. But that's what worry and anger and anxiety and stress will do to you. It brings me to my first point. And the first point is simply, I will not be derailed. Let's talk about how to jack our joy back, how to take our joy back. I will not be derailed. Derailed means that I'm not going to be moved. I am not going to get knocked off my block by anything that anybody throws my way. Acts 20:24a says, but none of these things move me. Paul was dealing with real serious issues, okay? But what he said is, none of these things are going to move me. None of these things are going to stop what I have to do for Jesus Christ. None of these things are going to deter me from my divine destiny. Paul lost friends. Paul killed people. Paul encountered things that none of us could have ever imagined. He kind of had that Job mentality. Job lost everybody that he loved in the same day, with the exception of his spouse. But he never lost his joy. He never gave up on God. Even his wife said, Job, just curse God and die. And he wouldn't hear of it. I don't think anybody in here, not too many of us, who lost everybody but one person. Maybe you had, in one day? Okay, I didn't think so. But he lost everybody in one day. But Paul says, but none of these things move me. We have to make up our mind before we get going. Lord, touch me, touch my mouth, touch my mind. I'm not going to let the traffic get on my nerves. I know my wife got on my nerves last night, but I'm going to love her this morning. I know that we're going to have a great day in the name of Jesus. We have to be mentally prepared to know that all types of things are going to come our way. All types of things are going to come our way to try to knock us off of the path that God has us on. Peer pressure is going to try to knock you off of that path. Trying to be like, see, we're worried about how people feel about us. Some people are stressing and anxious because they think people talking about them. Don't get quiet. Y'all be at work and y'all think people talking about you at the cooler. Ain't nobody talking about you. And if they are, so what? We worried about how people feel about us, what they think about us. It don't matter. We worrying about stuff we can't control. And it's stressing us. It's hurting our health. Some of us got enough health problems as it is. We don't need the stress. One reason we stress so much is because we have a root problem. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. We have a root problem. See, there was a storm. A guy told me about a storm down in Florida. And he had a big old strong oak tree. And oak trees are known for having strong wood. Amen? Amen. So one time, and he just assumed that everything. So they had a little miniature storm. It wasn't nothing major. Not for Florida. Small winds. It rained for a few days. And he was confused because this big hundreds of year old oak tree, it fell over. It fell over. He didn't understand. It did all types of damage. He was concerned. He called out the tree removal company and the foreman. He said, I don't understand why this big, strong oak tree was able to be blown over in a mild storm. It didn't make any sense to him. And so what he said was that the oak tree has an extensive root system that is less than 12 inches deep. And what it does is that it latches on to other roots underneath the soil, but they don't run any deeper than a foot at the most. So because of the rain and the consistent moisture, it shook up the foundation and the soil, and it caused the roots to become unstable. The problem wasn't with the oak and the wood and the tree itself. The problem was with the lack of stability of the roots. So when the ground became unstable, and because it wasn't grounded down deep like other trees, it went tumbling down. The problem is that our roots aren't running deep like in the book of Colossians. It's not rooted deep in Jesus Christ, so we aren't moved as easily. Paul said that I've shod at my feet with the gospel of Christ. So he's planted deep, and the shods were the stakes that they wore on their shoes that planted them deep into the ground. So when an enemy tried to move them or slam them or throw them down, they couldn't be moved because their feet were planted in the ground. Our roots are not as deep as we think they are. So the man said, well, I'm a little concerned now because I got some pine trees that are right next to my kid's room. And I know if he can blow down an oak tree, it can blow down the pine tree. He said, no, sir. The pine tree, even though it looks weak and feeble on top, below the roots run deep. And they hundreds of years old. Even if the tree goes down, they'll produce another pine tree. But the roots run so deep that nothing can knock down the roots. And if the tree does fall over, it will come up again. Or it could be like the palm tree, to where it might look like it's going to break, but it just bends over and it never breaks. But the more wind that it gets, the stronger the roots get. Amen. It's like a muscle. Opposition will build strength. If you exercise your faith, it will grow. And if your faith grows, your worry will decrease. All these things that we're dealing with every day, you know, the grief and the loss, the depression, the strongholds, the addictions, everything that we allow these things to steal our joy. Paul is saying that these things should not move us. We're focused on the wrong things. Therefore, when these things happen on the surface, it moves us and knocks us down and knocks us off of our path. These things. 1 Corinthians 15:57 through 58 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, see, we got the victory, y'all. We're going to win. I don't care what it looks like. Some of y'all in here worried about Donald Trump. Talk about it all day. I'm done talking about it. You know why? President Obama. My life didn't change one way or the other whether George Bush was in there or whether President Obama was in there. My life got better because I got my life right with Jesus Christ. Oh, okay. Okay, you want to quit playing? I don't care who the president is, because as long as I'm not being moved off my block, God got me. So we don't have to worry about, I won't be moved, because it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's the focus. That's the focus right there. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. I don't care what we're dealing with. I don't care what we're going through. I don't care what we've been through. We need to always be abounding in the work of God. Amen. If we stay focused on that, then we won't be so easily moved off of our block. And see, once we get moved off our block and we're not underneath the source, we will lose our joy. Luke 12:30-31 says, "For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." See, we focused on the wrong these things. Amen. We focus on these things that bring us down and bring us pain, and we want to stay with the trials and the tribulations of life, and then we can't focus on these things that God has promised to us. We focus on the things that the world is searching over and everything that they want and the pursuit of happiness on God, on earth. But the Bible's saying that if you seek first the kingdom of God, all these things shall be added to you. We don't have to worry about all that we worried about. We don't have to worry about the food and the clothes we're going to wear tomorrow. Some of us be stressing over what we're going to eat for dinner. I used to get anxious sitting at the restaurant because I couldn't figure out what I wanted. And then a little voice said, "You know, Applebee's will be here tomorrow. They'll be here next week. They'll have baby back ribs next month too. You don't have to try to order up everything because you can't figure it out." We worrying about silly stuff. But the Bible says, just seek ye first the kingdom of God. Put your focus right there on things of an eternal nature, things of a heavenly nature. My next point. This is a good one. Write it down. Take a picture. I will not be distracted. I will not be distracted. We are allowing everything and anything and anybody and everybody to distract us off of our path. See, I won't be moved means somebody's coming right up of and they just moving us up. We know it's there and it's come. Now we're getting moved because we're distracted. See, some of us, I'm going to tell you how you know when your roots are a little feeble, they're a little weak. If you always offended, you got a root problem. I know that one. That one, ouch. I know, I'm sorry. See, if you always offended with your lip poked out, mad at everybody, your roots, they need a little strengthening. And that's okay. We all need strengthening in one area or the next. Amen? But if you always mad because you think somebody talking about you, you always depressed and don't never have any joy, always got an attitude, our roots are a little shallow. We need to have deep roots. See, when we know we're in God's hands, we don't have to worry about these things. We don't have to be distracted. When we know God has empowered us, we don't have to be distracted by the things of this world. Some of us are depressed because we didn't get a promotion. We didn't get a promotion. So we get depressed and we get stressed about that, and we forget that God's still in control. You want to know how you know when you're stressed about something? Because, see, stress looks different. Stress looks different on certain people. Some people, they got to smoke their cigarette. They got to drink. They tired. They can't sleep. And then some people just talk you to death. Anybody got to? We talk. We don't let it go. We don't let it go. Every time you talk to them, they're talking about the same thing. That's the indicator that they're stressing about something. You ever put somebody on hold for a long time, and they come back, and they can pick up right where they left off? That's because they're stressing. They stressing on whatever it is. When you just let it go. Give it, and don't just let it go like frozen. Let it go and give it to God. Amen? Give it to God. We stuck in sadness. We stuck in sorrow. We stuck in self-pity. We stuck in anger. We stuck in depression. We stuck in all these things, and we can't move forward because we're distracted by the trials and tribulations of life. Acts 20:24b says, "Nor do I count my life dear to myself." Nor do I count my life dear to myself. Paul wasn't worried about his life. He wasn't worried about earthly things. He wasn't worried about going to do things that were going to pull him away from growing in Christ. In order to have that mind that's in Christ Jesus, we have to exercise our faith to grow in Jesus Christ. We're not going to get it.
not coming and fellowshipping and worshiping with the saints. You're not going to get it if you're not coming to the spiritual growth ministries. We're not going to get it if we're not growing in our word and teaching our children the word. Okay, come on, Zeus, let's do it. Cause I think we need a, where? Let me see. Oh, that's who I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. The wine. Where you at? Yeah, you know I was looking for you. Come on. Come on, Tia. You may as well come on, too. Yeah, look. Gotcha. Come on. Got it, right? You like that. You like that, don't you? Come on. All right, stand on this side. Come on, Tia. Come over on this side. Don't get an attitude with me. All right. Y'all come a little closer. I'm going to move out your way so we can understand. Leave it like that for a minute. All right, so we got a little water here. Y'all got to hold y'all cups up here. We didn't even rehearse it or nothing. Come up. Y'all going to hold it right next to Zeus for a minute. Right now. Up. Zeus, hold yours up. Right here below it. Come together. Right there. Okay. Now look. The problem is right here, as long as I keep doing this, eventually what? It fills up as the husband, the leader of my home, the single mother, the leader of the home. As long as my cup is running over, my children will always get the blessing. The blessing flows from the head to the tail. Amen. Amen. It flows from the top to the bottom. As long as I'm underneath the source. Because the source stays full. Amen. If you drink from the fountain, you'll never thirst again. Is that right? That's right. What the words say? So as long as we stay right here, and the water and under the source that never runs out. Now, this runs out. But the source never runs out. I can fill up my children. Now, listen. I can fill up my wife. I can fill up my household. Now, just imagine the source is still there. The source is still there, okay? But what happens is, we come away from the source. We have moved on. No, leave it there, bro. We have left the source. We've left the source, and now stuff starts happening. So what starts happening now, y'all got to be ready to catch the water, okay? Y'all going to get some hose. So now what's going to happen is, see, the water has ran out because we're not by the source. So when the trials of life come, and they start getting shook and all that, there's no more water. They run out of water because the source has no water. Okay? The earthly source, the house, the head of the house has no source, has no power because it's left the source. But we know from an imaginary standpoint, the source never left. But they left. They got distracted by things on the earth. They got distracted by people, by anxiety, by worry, and things like that. So now everybody is empty. And the husband, come back over here. The husband or the hold back, Zeus. So the husband or the mother, they have no power. When you have no power, you won't have any joy because you're not connected to the source. Have you ever plugged in your cell phone and thought it was plugged up, but it really wasn't? And when you get up in the morning, you have less power than what you had before. Okay, that's because there's nothing wrong with your electricity unless you didn't pay the bill. There's nothing wrong with the electricity. The problem is you wasn't connected to the source. So right here, we got an empty head with nothing in it. And what happened now, because they've been away from the source so long, now when they come back to the source, they got holes. But they still getting something. And if they stay under the source long enough, empty your cup, Zeus. Empty your cup. If I keep it, but at least now the family getting full. And the cup is, the faster, the more they get of it, the cup really does fill up. Now, what happens is you're not going to stay underneath this source and not eventually get healed. So what happens is, Zeus, go ahead and heal me. Heal me, Zeus. So now what happens is I get reinforced, and now my holes, because when God restores something, he makes it better than what it was before you got hurt, amen? Before your heart got broken, God will make your heart stronger after he fixes it than what it was before it got broken. He'll mend all your wounds and he'll heal all your bruises. And now the cup is reinforced and I can go back to filling up my family. I can go back because the Bible says that he anointed my head with oil and my cup runneth over. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You can go, y'all can dump it in there. Thank you so much. We distracted from the source. The Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And when we get away from the source, then we're susceptible to all type of attacks. All types of things can happen. So then we get these holes and we get these scars and bruises, and then we have no joy. If the father and the mother have no joy, then there's no joy in the house. So then we're teaching our children to be worrywarts and be stressed people and not know how to deal with nothing because all they see us doing is stressing and worrying. I know we like to do things and we like to do certain things and have extracurricular activities, but we have to have a balance with our children because I'm going to tell you right now, when they get to be 18 and 19 and 20, the sports, all the little community and school events and things like that, that will not get them through. I know it's tight, but it's right. It won't get them through because they have to learn how to receive the power from the source. That's what makes us whole, is the power from the source. We run around here on E because we're not plugged up to the source. The power, the problem is not the source. The problem is not God. The problem is not grace and mercy. It still works. The blood will never, ever lose its power. The problem is we're not connected. Our roots aren't running deep like we need them to do it. Galatians 5:7 says, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? We letting people who are negative. We letting people who aren't equally yoked. We letting people who don't love the Lord, who don't want to grow in God, hinder us from doing what God wants us to do. We letting things and earthly meetings and earthly appointments hinder us from growing in Christ. The bottom line is if you and your children, if us and our children aren't here, then nobody's growing. So when trouble comes, how will the children know how to handle it? How will they know? If they see us worried and stressing because we're not connected to the source, the only education they're getting is how to worry and stress. That's all they're getting. They're not getting any balance. They're not getting any balance. I've already told my kids, we're going to try to get y'all on something, but if they practice it on Tuesday, we ain't going to make it. Because I need it. I'm not trying to prove a point to nobody in here. I need it because I need to be here on Tuesday because I don't want to be cussing people out on Wednesday. I got to be plugged up to the source. I have to grow in Christ so I can let my light shine for this world. I got to plug into the source so I'm not sitting around here stressing and taking years off my life because I'm worried about Donald Trump. If we spend more time worrying and complaining and murmuring, then that lets you know how strong and how deep your roots run. We worried about people who have our name in their mouth, in their drama, and they gossip, and they shenanigans. They got our name in everything but a prayer. And we worried about these people. The Bible says, who can add one cubit to their life by worry? And I believe that the Lord is saying right there that if you are worrying, you've taken time off of your life because you're not trusting God to handle the situation. There are people who are in tip-top shape. They slim, trim, and been athletes their whole life and will drop dead because of a heart attack. And a lot of people medically believe they'll find out that they had a really stressed life. I won't be distracted. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Meditate means I'm in deep study. I want to grow in you, Lord. I want to teach my children Psalms 23. I want to teach my children John 3:16, everything that our parents did to us. By the time I was 10, we knew 20, 30 scriptures. The children today don't. Mine included. We got to do better. We got to do better. I can't talk to them unless I talk to us. And then what happens is, here's a domino effect. This is how Satan works with us. It's cute and fun now because they kids. But when they 18, 20, 21 and get to college and all hell has broken loose, then we're going to have a problem. Then we want everybody to pray for us and help them through. Little Mike struggling, y'all. Little Mike struggling. I want y'all to remember, y'all been told 10 years when little Mike was 7, bring him to the house of God. Bring them to Bible study. Bring them to In God. Bring them to wherever you go to church so your children and you can grow together. But we have to meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. The Bible says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Can you quit talking to Nae about your problems? Nae ain't been to church since she was baptized in 1987. And I'm not saying Nae don't love you, but if Nae ain't meditating the word day and night, you're probably not getting the right counsel. Okay? So you're probably not getting what you need from the people you're talking to. That's why you keep going in circles. You're talking to people and you still worry because they source is weak. They source is weak. But if I get that type of source right there, then I can give my problems to God and I walk away feeling better than I did when I got there. But if I'm not getting godly counsel, then that problem will never go away. But blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. But and then 3 says, if you do that, because these things ain't supposed to move us. If we do that, we'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. If you believe in the word from Genesis to Revelation, then we can't be distracted because the Bible just told us that if we meditate day and night, we'll be like a tree planted by the river. And if we're a tree planted by the river, that means our roots are strong. That means trouble can't move us. Death can't move us. Sickness can't move us. Being broke can't move us. Nothing can move us if we plant it by the rivers of water. My final point, and I'm going to take my seat. I will not. Y'all listen to me. And we speaking those things as if they were. Because I know that there's a lot of us in here struggling with worry and anxiety and stress. 3 is, I will not be discouraged. I will not be discouraged. So that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify the goodness of the grace of God. Has God been good to anybody in here? Has he kept you from many of things? Danger seen and unseen when you thought you were going to lose your mind? Has God kept you? Well, that's what Paul is saying right here. He said, I got to finish my race. Race means that you're going to have some opponents. You're going to have some people that are going to try to beat you, and they're going to try to outdo you, and they're going to try to hurt you by any means necessary. The trials of life are going to try to hinder you from finishing your race. But Paul said that he was given a ministry. And on that road to Damascus, when the Lord spared his life and saved his soul, he said that I'm spared to testify that the gospel of the grace of God. Paul got personal right there. He said that I am a sinner. The Bible says that Paul said he was the chief sinner. And Paul knew that he should have been killed right then and there. But because God saved him, he said that I've been given a ministry to testify to the grace of God. So if God's been good to you, I don't care whether you preach or teach or usher or whatever, security, whatever you do, we all have the ministry to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Because anybody who's a part of Jesus Christ is saved under the grace of God. And these things can't discourage us because I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm reminded, I'm about done, Joe, but I'm reminded that the boy who died in the field, and they brought him to his mother, and, you know, we see a lot of people, if you've ever lost a child, I've been there, and she could have fallen all out, You've seen it on the movies, how they fall in the caskets and they do all that. She could have done all that. But let me tell you what this mama did. This mama said, okay, get my horse, get my animal. And she hopped on that animal after seeing that her son was lifeless. And she hit the road. And she said, and they said, you okay, ma'am? You okay? She said, all is well. And she kept riding and kept riding. And Elijah, the one who prophesied that she would have the son in her old age because she couldn't have any kids. So when the son that she was promised finally came to pass, he died. And she said, you know what? It's all good because I seen God bless me here and I know he's not done blessing me. I know it's not over because he's already taken care of me once. And I know God is for real. He's not going to come short of his word. So I'm not going to be moved and I'm not going to be distracted. I'm going to keep my eyes focused on God. So what he did was she hopped on that horse and she went to the man of God so she could get what God had for her. And Elijah seen her from a distance. And Elijah sent his help, go see what the woman wants. And see, people will come and try to distract you. But when you focus and you keyed in, you ain't worried about none of that. And so the helper came and said, woman, what did Elijah say what you want? She said, all is well. And she kept on riding because she was focused on the man of God. She was focused on the prophet because she wanted to get the word from the Lord. And the Bible says that she got to the prophet. And he said, what's going on? She said, my boy is dead. And all I know and all I can tell you is that after she had that moment with the man of God, when she got back, the boy was alive and well. She didn't let nothing move her off of her roots. She didn't let nothing take her off of what she was trying to do. See, we can't be concerned with that surface stuff. We can't be concerned with what's going on the outside. We got to worry about what's on the inside. We got to live down in the roots where Jesus is. He's my anchor. When people have your name and everything, it's time for us to stop crying. It's time for us to stop worrying and stop stressing. It's time to increase worship and increase study and increase prayer. The Bible says that the peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do, I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What we scared of, church? What we scared of? We serve a God that sits high and looks low. I don't care what your debacle is. I don't care what your struggle is. Don't be discouraged. The Bible says that these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. See, we don't have to worry about those things because we can focus on these things. And we don't matter because even though those things may not have come to pass yet, we know that those things don't have any victory in our life because of these things. And these things give us the victory over those things because these things have already happened and the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ covers us all the way around. Those things that happened on Calvary when Jesus was beaten all night long for our sins. When they marched him up Golgotha's hill, when they numbered him in between two thieves, he was still focused on his heavenly destiny. He was still saving souls on the cross. And they drove nails through his hands and they drove nails through his feet. But the Bible says that on the surface, it didn't look too good. It didn't look like things were going to work out. And all the people who Jesus had poured into all those years, they started doubting. They started worrying. They started crying. They started stressing. But the Bible says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I don't have to worry about what's going on the outside because I got Jesus deep down in my heart. The Bible says that they laid him in old man Joseph's borrowed tomb and it started looking real bad then. Jews, they was worried. They was crying. And they was distraught. The Bible says that he laid there all night Friday night. And they really was crying then because they didn't know what happened with Jesus. And he laid there all night Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, right before the rooster crowed, right before the sun cracked the sky, the Bible says that he rose up with all power and heaven and earth in his hands. I don't have to worry about those things because of that thing right there. when Jesus got up, I didn't have to cry about nothing else no more. When my son passed away, I was able to focus on Jesus on the cross. When my money looked funny, I can focus on Jesus raising from the grave. When people attack me, I can focus on Jesus. The Bible says that I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. When you know that, I don't have to worry. When you know that the Bible says that this too shall pass, you don't have to worry. Let your roots grow deep in Jesus Christ. I don't care what your day looks like. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care what you're going through. The Bible says that this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. If it's a bad day, rejoice in it. If somebody dies, rejoice in it. If you get sick, rejoice in it. We are supposed to be rejoicing. If we Christians that don't have no joy, I don't care what you're trying to sell me. If you don't have no joy, I ain't going to buy it. You trying to sell something you're not happy about? That don't work out. The thief cometh not to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I come that they may have life and might have it more abundantly. When James said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. It don't matter what you're going through. God is working it all out for our good. Bible says that, and we know all things work together. The good things and the bad things, the sweet things and the not sweet things. Everything works together for our good. See, when you know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, what you worried about? Huh? When you know that when this enemy comes in like a flood and the Lord's going to rise up a standard against it, what we worried about? I'm jacking my joy back, because the Bible says that the Lord will prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. And what that means, Pastor, is I'm going to go walk right up on my enemy and I'm taking my joy back. You're not going to have me miss another night of sleep. You're not going to have me cry myself to sleep. You're not going to have me worried about everybody else, because I serve a God who loves me. I serve a God who keeps me. I serve a God who saved my soul. I serve a God who knows the number of hair on my head. I serve a God that has kept me in my sleep. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You don't got to worry. Take your joy back. When you know that he says, I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you may be also. Take your joy back. When the Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Take your joy back. Take your joy back, church. When your light's about to get shut off, take your joy back. When your spouse is acting up, take your joy back. I'm going to tell y'all this story, and I'm going to go sit down. On yesterday, you know how we all trying to work on being on time. I think that we got a lot of people working with that, amen. So, but that's a common problem with a lot of people. And we've been doing good with it. But as this sermon was given to me, and y'all going to laugh at this, but it's okay. I challenge myself to not... And I don't have a temper, but for me, I knew that I was getting angry and mad over silly stuff. Just silly stuff. So yesterday, we got everything ready. And I baked my little cake for the marriage ministry. And I baked my cake, and we got the kids off. And I only had one job, y'all. She had one job. All she had to do was bring the game. That's all she had to do. And I said, babe, we're going to be late. We got to hurry up. So 5 minutes before it's time to go, I don't want to change her purses. Y'all know, ladies, y'all know. Y'all gonna give me, you know. She want to change purses. So she's got so caught up on trying to change the purse that we get in the van, and I got the cake, and we rolling, and we leaving, and we get about a minute away from the house. I said, Ina, you got the game? You got the game? She said, mm-mm, sure don't. She's, and I thought she was just playing. And she's like, no, I'm for real. I don't got it. I don't have it. I said, what? I said, babe, you had one job. And right then, I seen Satan try to ruin the whole evening. I seen it, because I was getting ready to go in because I didn't want to be late. I was trying to be on time and set a good example. And I was like, man, we done forgot the game. And you know what? I said, no, Satan, you're not going to get me. So I turned around. I didn't say nothing else about it. And because she was like, okay, it was my fault, she was ready to get out and go get the game. I said, don't worry about it, baby. I'll go get the game. Right? See, but this there's levels to this, because I wasn't ready for the next one. Joe, I didn't pray for this one. And then as I get ready to go back in, she says, well, can you take the purse and the wallet from the other purse? I wasn't ready for it. So I took one from my daddy's book. I said, you overcooking my grits. We got to quit worrying over silly stuff. And I had an opportunity right there to ruin our whole evening. Because I would have said something that we would have been here fronting like we was happy and we would all been mad last night. But because the Lord gave me the word to not worry about silly stuff, let it go. Talk through it. Love one another. Let the love in Christ be exemplified in your household, to your children, to your co-workers. And because of that, I watch God turn that whole situation around. Jack your joy back. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.